This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, buddies, welcome in. Hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Love this text from the 903. Tell Brian I was the wide receiver that torched LSU in the 85 Liberty Bowl, Brian.
Sure did. And that was, I played in that, well, I didn't play in that game.
No,
I was,
you snapped hell of a ball.
Your team was in the game.
Yeah, we played. It was a brutally, brutally cold night in Memphis, Tennessee. And Baylor, Baylor just smoked us that day. Or at that night. But, and when the gentleman said his name, I remember him absolutely. Heck of a player there for the Baylor Bears and NFL Europe. Good experience for all of us there hanging out in NFL Europe. Young guys and gals getting to see the world for free. That was a lot of fun.
Yes, sir. Salute to you, 903. Thanks for making us part of your day.
Thanks for texting back. Appreciate you, man.
Cowboys news of the evening coming up in 20 minutes. Time now here for the NFL news of the day. There goes Wolchuk with it.
Thank you. We do have our practice report. Kalen Carson has been upgraded to limited in practice of this week, so that's good news. Hopefully he's trending towards playing on Sunday. You had Zach Martin, Jordan Lewis, Eric Kendricks, Malik Hooker, also all limited. Of course, Brandon Cooks and Micah Parsons did not practice. The latest on Brandon Cooks, Jane Slater, who we're going to have on at 5 o'clock, said a source informed me the Cowboys were aware of the injections the wide receiver Brandon Cooks was undergoing in New York postgame, described as a common solution to avoid a scope for the meniscus.
Okay.
The knee then got infected. When he returned to Dallas, Dr. Cooper, who's the team doctor, then scoped it to clean it out and get the infection out and smooth out the meniscus issue. So Brandon apparently should be feeling great in 1 to 3 weeks is what Jane said. Now, Jane's going to join us at 5, as I mentioned, so we'll get more information
there. She would know.
Very plugged in.
Yeah.
Bad news for the Dolphins. Really, I feel like everything's just bad news for Miami right now. Your family's probably going through it, Eric. I feel for your dad, man.
Yeah, it's really difficult, especially on the heels of Mercury Morris's passing a couple of weeks ago. It's just getting it from all angles.
Jalen Phillips, their edge rusher, now out for the season. I guess he had a season-ending knee injury Monday night that's going to require reconstructive surgery, said Jalen Phillips on his Instagram page. So he's already coming back from an ACL. Now he's got a knee injury. You've got Tyreek Hill, who woke up today and said he was hearing trade news. I don't know what's really going on there. Maybe it's nothing. Maybe there's nothing going on with Tyreek Hill. And they're still sticking with Tyler Huntley this week. And that didn't look like it was much of a solution either to help out that offense.
Well, you can't keep running Skylar Thompson out there. That's for dang sure. Their backup quarterback situation's a disaster. Thus, everything about their team's a disaster. Their defense has been bad. I feel terrible for Jalen Phillips. He's one of the better edge rushers in the league. And for him to go from an Achilles last year, get back looking like himself, and then I guess it's an ACL or something with the knee, that's heartbreaking. But if you're the Dolphins, I think moving on from Tyreek Hill, it might might be the play here. I mean, we'll see what happens. What's your record when, I guess, Tua comes back? But that feels very flimsy on how long he would be back for. You have Jalen Waddle. This is probably your time to get something for Tyreek Hill. Yep. That would be a guy that'd be a commodity for sure. Heck, maybe there's a Tyreek Hill reunion in Kansas City awaiting us. Huh?
That'd be interesting. Absolutely. I mean, I guess there's the Davante Adams rumors out there. Jets and Saints are high on Adams' trade wish list. That was the report from Schefter earlier today. Of course, he could reunite then with Aaron Rodgers with the Jets or Derek Carr, which is why he signed with the Raiders initially. Carr now in New Orleans, so the Fresno State buddies can maybe reunite there. There was the rumors of Kansas City. They're not expected to be an option, according to Schefter, which makes a ton of sense. I mean, I don't think the Raiders, even though they're probably not, I'm not even going to say probably, they're not a factor in the division whatsoever. They're not going to trade Davante Adams to the Chiefs. Be like the Cowboys saying, like, yeah, CeeDee Lamb's frustrated. Let's trade him to the Eagles. You're not going
to
do that.
You'd have to get them to way overpay, and Kansas City's just not going to do that.
No, no. So Devontae, I mean, I guess the Jets are probably the team I would assume that are going to be the most aggressive. That's what it seems like. The Steelers in the mix as well, that we know they were eyeing Brandon Ayuk. They'd like to eye another wide receiver. The Chiefs are being rumored to be looking into Amari Cooper, but maybe Tyreek Hill ends up being an option there. Dolphins are going to get Odell Beckham Jr. back at practice first time this week. Maybe he actually does suit up and play for Miami this year.
Hey, man. I mean, I'm sure he's going to look great catching passes from Tyler Huntley.
Golly, what a non-story. I don't get it.
Honestly, I feel foolish that we made such a big deal about the Odell Beckham Jr. stuff a couple years ago for like that month.
Mm-hmm.
We're like on OBJ 2 years watch. Ago. He's still making headlines.
It was fun. It was like, man, he's at the Mavericks game. Holy crap, are they going to sign him? We need some weapons for the playoffs. He's not even going to play in the playoffs. Well, dang it, what's the point of this? Like it was drama for a week, though. It's kind of fun.
Oh yeah, it was drama for a few weeks.
Wow,
but hindsight, gosh, we're idiots.
Just useless,
man.
Yeah. He's done nothing. Really.
He's not played. Browns have made it official. They've designated Nick Chubb to return off of IR. He was at practice today, looking pretty good, pretty amazing. What a comeback story that would be for Nick Chubb, who had that catastrophic injury to his knee last year. If he can come back and be anywhere close to the running back that he was prior to the injury. And Will Levis, Brian, you'd be happy to know he's expected to be fine after hurting his shoulder against the Dolphins. He's going to be all right. Dolphins return from their bye this week, and he's expected to be back in the lineup. So good news for Will Levis.
The 214 says, hey, Broadus, you were at Philly with my high school friend Tom Heckert. We went to Adrian High School together in Michigan.
Okay, Tom came. Was Tom before me? And then stayed. Tom, there was a group of guys. Tom, I think, was part of the guys that left.
Did he backstab you on his way
out? No. Tom was really good. Tom was a great guy.
Except that one time.
Yeah, but I'm trying to remember because I came in with a group. There was a lot of guys that were, matter of fact, of 8 scouts when I took over, 4 of them left. They just quit, and I want to say that
a lot of turmoil in there.
Those guys didn't like me.
Yeah, that's what I heard. That's why I wondered if he was one of them.
Yeah, they didn't like me, and so they were very loyal to the previous guy, Dick Daniels.
That'll happen.
Yeah, very loyal. And when I got the job, they just said, "Nah, we quit." So if you ever watch the NFL Network, Mark Ross, who's on, Mark Ross, young scout. It was his first year. Mark was the scout. And then we had guy Dan Shonka, who runs Our Lads. So if you ever go to the site, Dan Shonka.
They know what they're doing.
He started Our Lads. And then Jake Hollum was a scout. So there were 4 of us. Hmm. That was it.
It's a hell of a
Mike
room.
Mike Lombardi did the pro stuff. I did the college stuff for the draft. And then that's how we kind of worked. But Tom's a good dude.
Nice.
Tom
was one of the good ones.
R.I.P. Yeah. Well, I just love the idea of people texting in their connection to people Brian knows.
Yeah. I love this. 877-881-1053.
There's more people out there to have connections?
I'm sure there's going to be more, Brian. Yeah. They're going to come out of the woodwork here. All right, Eric, you've been asking for this answer for a while now. I mean, I think you're still asking Stephen Jones this question.
Yeah, I've been asking the question extremely poorly for years.
Like, what goes into the game day strategy for a head coach? Like, who's in the ear? What's going on? So, J.J. Watt actually had a similar question for Bill Belichick.
He asked it a little bit better, more concise.
He was very concise. He was like, okay, you know, when it comes to going forward, all that stuff, like, do you ever click over? Are you making those decisions as a head coach? Are you kind of just letting your personnel department handle that, or like your analytics guys, your OC, your DC? there's a matchup you're seeing. How's this all work on game day? Here's Bill.
Are you ever interjecting and being like, I want us to run the ball here? Obviously, you make the fourth and one calls. Are we going to go for it? Are we not? But are you ever interjecting on specifically what you want to do in a situation? Like, I want you to run it here. I want you to throw it here.
I would try to get ahead of that, JJ. I would try not to in between plays say, oh, call this play and mess up the play caller's rhythm. But at the end of the series, I might come to him and say, look, it looks like they're really having trouble with the C-gap runs. Let's look, you know, we need to start running more of those, or, hey, we're not going to be able to run the ball today. Let's just go empty and throw it. Hey, let's make sure Watt doesn't ruin the game. Okay, I want to chip him on every single play.
Yeah,
I'll jump in there and say that.
He's not wrong. Yeah.
I like that.
So Bill's getting ahead of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that's his ability to be able to see things from the sideline like that and just be able to immediately, like, just, hey, C-gap, boom, we're doing it, or whatever. I mean, and his being proactive, you know, like, that's the essence of being the leader of the team right there.
Yeah, you want a guy that has the answers and knows it and gets the respect of everybody. Like, it's not offensive if Belichick says that. It's like, okay, cool, thanks. The goat's helping me see something here.
Right.
I was watching, God, I can't remember what game I was watching the other day, but the head coach, they showed a sideline shot, and the head coach is not the primary play caller. And he immediately could see him mouth the words, four down here, get a play ready. You know, Bill was talking, but God, I can't remember who I was watching, but you could read his lips. He goes, four down, get a play ready. And he was telling the coordinator, as you're thinking about this sequence of plays you're about to go, thinking about, you're going to have a fourth down play ready if we get down there. So be ready to have it. And the really good head coaches will do that. They'll stay ahead of it. They know their team. They know the game. They know when they have to go for it. I was laughing this morning because we were talking about Mike Tomlin. Remember the last time that Pittsburgh and Dallas played, the Dak senior year? The game in Pittsburgh in 16.
His rookie year. Him and Zeke's rookie year,
Remember how many times Mike Tomlin went for two in that game? And they actually lost the game because of the number of times they missed going for it on with two-point conversions.
Yeah.
Immediately he just started going for two very early in the game, and Dallas kept defending it. And then at the end of the game, they were scrambling because they were behind.
They've lost points.
They lost the points. Yeah. And so sometimes as a coach, you got to know your team. You got to be able to keep track of the game, how that thing's going to progress.
Such an epic game with the Killer Bees, with Ben and AB and Bell all in their
prime. That was crazy, man.
That game was bad.
That was a crazy.
The long bomb to Dez. Yeah.
Zeke run.
The screen was incredible. Yeah. And then, the run for the win.
But that was the year that Dak, think about this. As a rookie quarterback, wins at Green Bay and at Pittsburgh.
Well, that was the game. I think Romo said it's his time. That's when he realized, like, they just went into Pittsburgh and won. You can see how the team's rallying around him. Yeah. Like, you saw Romo on the sideline just mouth, like, it's his time.
Yeah. Mm.
You know?
It's a meritocracy, man.
Football's a meritocracy. All right, this was kind of fun. Bleacher Report, they projected their biggest preseason misses. What do you think's been your biggest preseason miss? Something you thought preseason would be and then has turned out to not be the case whatsoever.
The Vikings.
Theirs was the Vikings. That was one of theirs as well.
I thought the Vikings were going to play with the rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
Remember I said...
Well, they would have maybe.
I said this. I go, if Dallas didn't sign Dak, the Vikings were the template of playing with the rookie quarterback and what that could look like.
Yeah.
That was my...
Yeah, they move on from Cousins
Cousins. Dallas moves on from Dak. You play with a rookie quarterback or a first-year quarterback, and this is what it's going to probably look like. You know, I didn't think the Commanders, though. I love the quarterback.
Commanders and Vikings for me immediately come to mind.
And I think everybody, I mean, like, obviously the Commanders, I put that out there, but the Vikings thing I didn't quite see coming either. I wasn't a believer in Sam Darnold and doing what he's doing now.
The Giants are more competitive than I thought. I thought Giants were going to have the first overall pick. They still might lose games, but I think New England's far worse.
Tough break. I mean, looking at this 4 weeks in, I think I nailed it all. to be honest with you. Mm. Par for the course. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you did.
What, you had a bad payoff on Friday?
Yeah, I think my third in a row.
I think you crushed it.
Yeah, me too. I've missed the last 4 weeks.
He's losing battles week in, week out, but he's already won the war.
Man, this is we're losing a battle here. I guess NBC wants to flex the week 6 game between the Commanders and Ravens, which is, of course, Jaden Daniels and now Lamar Jackson.
Flex it out?
They want to flex it in
to Sunday Night Football?
Because right now their game is Bengals-Giants. That's what they've got. We don't need to be watching Daniel Jones and the Giants on primetime again. But NBC, CBS, who reportedly has that game, is blocking it. Because I guess each network, Fox and CBS, they can protect one game.
Yeah.
That is now the game that CBS, with the Commanders playing well, they want to save that, probably put it in their primetime window at 3:25 Central.
Because that's Lamar versus Daniels.
Yeah. That's a border war, isn't it, too?
It's a border war.
Oh, yeah, that's
true. It is. They usually play, I think, every preseason, which they probably did now, too.
Couple of texts coming in here. 214, Brian dated my mom, and I think I am his forgotten son. Her name was Brandy.
Broadus?
I don't think I've ever...
You've told me a couple stories.
Brandy Broadus kind of rolls
sounds
off the
hot.
Tongue. Yeah.
Brandy with an I?
Yeah. Brandy, I don't...
Sounds juggy.
Brandy with an I. When did it... Can you give me a year?
Yeah, give a year, 214.
I don't remember dating a Brandy.
And send a headshot as well. We'd like to see
can
how
we
much
see the pictures of
like
that?
Brian you look. Yeah. Okay, 214, just got my car shot up by a raged woman on Wheatland and Hampton who apparently was in a rush, wanted me to run the red light so she could get to where she's going. I'm still shook up. Be safe out there, guys.
She shot your car?
Oh, my gosh, bro.
What?
Yeah.
Lucius tells us about this all the time, man.
It's wild out here, bro.
Be careful.
It's wild out here.
What was the color truck?
You are not safe.
You're not safe, Lucius. You're right, man. You're right.
Is it the white trucks or the...
Oh, yeah, Richie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the greatest theory of all time. White Truck Wednesday. The white trucks are the ones that are worst drivers out here because it's the cheapest truck.
It's true.
Oh, yeah, wow. Yeah, it's true. It is true.
Ever since my white truck told me stolen. About that, I was like, man.
Eric
this is
sold
so
me
true.
The white truck.
The most soulless vehicle on the streets, I think, is what he said.
Yeah.
All right.
That's insane. What a story.
Gosh,
this dude just got shot. His car was just being shot.
Be safe out there.
Yeah. At a red light?
I tell you, Lucius tells us.
Yeah, it's wild out here, bro.
Unreal.
All the time.
Well, glad you're all
like
right.
Like if my
buddy.
Girl throws her hands up in the car like that, you know, at another car. Oh, man, let me out. Let me out. I'm not playing with you.
Don't be poking these bears.
Die out here.
It's not worth it. Okay, we got to run, Nation. When we come back, time for the C-note. Got a text in here from the 972. Could this be what Jerry's been waiting for an all-in moment to go get Devontae Adams? That's a very timely question. Let's discuss that next right here at the G-Bag Nation on 105.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
5-3 the Fan.
Snap is back. Pressure from Lawson. He heaves it down the right side of the field. Double coverage. Tip to the ground. Was it intercepted or caught? Caught on a deflection.
Intercepted.
Oh, no, it was intercepted. Yeah. And by who? Amani Oruwariye.
Nailed it. Dallas Cowboys replay brought to you by Ciroc. Please drink responsibly. It's time now for the C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening. The text continued to roll in of people with connections to Broadus. 469, Brian played for Coach Shepherd at W.T. White High School in Dallas.
David Shepherd, yeah, I sure did. He was, when I think about all the great coaches I've ever been around, whether the high school, college, and NFL, he's one of the top five that I've ever been with when it came to influencing me and stuff in football as a high school player, and then what it's kind of did for me going on. A lot of the things that he treated people and his football knowledge was great.
The texter continues to say he was Shepherd's assistant baseball coach. You came to visit Coach Shepherd and showed them your Super Bowl ring from the Packers.
Yeah,
among other things.
I did. Yeah, thank you.
So thanks for those texts at 877-881-1053. Another gentleman saying White Truck Wednesday was one of the best segments Richie and Grego did.
Yeah.
817, you're right. But you got to say it right. White trucks, Got to say it the Richie Whit way. Okay, here we go. Nothing to this Devontae Adams report. I know people are getting excited about it. It's easy, an exercise in your mind. Is it a player who's making a lot of money? The answer is going to be no. I mean, it could be Joe Montana in his prime. Do you want to get this quarterback, Cowboys? They'd say no. We believe in our guy, and it's too much money.
Those dollars are already accounted for. They're earmarked.
They really are. Yep.
We're going to give that money to Micah Parsons. So.
We got about $45 million in dead cap space next year. That 25 is probably going to spend some of that off.
Jerry, Randy White and Bob Lilly reincarnated are in your lobby right now. They'd like to sign. Oh, no, sorry. We like our guys. Okay, so there's that story, Devontae Adams probably going to the Jets or maybe somewhere else. But the Brandon Cook story is trickling in with more details. And Jane Slater's going to join us to discuss that coming up at 5 o'clock NFL Network. And, now there's her last report was 1 to 3 weeks. So, that could be something. But I'm leaning more towards the idea that he could be washed up because he was here last year and they got 850 yards and 8 touchdowns. And he's on track for, less than half of the yards, half the touchdowns. That's, if he can continue to score. And when they're throwing in the ball, I think there's something to be said for kind of getting up there in age and never have been a big guy. He's just getting muscled out and like alphaed out of the space. And obviously that's evidence that they don't know how to use him properly. I also think he was a guy that would go get the ball or figure out a way to shield the defender in his prime and, maybe had the additional boost that it would take at his size to get open and make plays, and maybe that's receding a little bit. So I'm actually looking forward to more snaps and more opportunities for Brooks and Tolbert, to be honest with you. And, getting some other guys.
Flournoy.
Flournoy?
Yeah, man. They'll finally be active.
Yep.
Okay, so at 877-881-1053, if you want to, react to any of that. I know it's disappointing. We had a lot of Tyreek Hill texts coming in as well. It's like, oh, he's available. I mean, it's the same thing.
That's not solving any. What is that solving for you? It's not solving much. Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill are not taking this Cowboys team anywhere different than where they're already headed, which is at best one and done in the postseason.
Yeah, I think this quarterback, the CeeDee Lamb, Jake Ferguson, these guys can have a lot of success in the future. But right now, if you're going to be spending resources, it's got to be to build a physical running game, right? With a running back, you might need a new right guard here at the end of this season. You might need a new right tackle.
Hell, you could go get a defensive end right now in a bad way. That'd help you out. That'd probably be a position you're going to need next year, too, when DeMarcus Lawrence isn't on the team.
Yeah, yeah. And even with that, that would make more sense. That would help you. But there isn't one single move that can put this team into contender
status. No, they're not one move away,
you know?
I wouldn't mind a move for that. Like a wide receiver, I'm with you. Because they haven't proven that they can use Brandon Cooks fully for a full season. I don't think Brandon Cooks is a bad player, and they're still not getting the most out of him. So we've seen this team before with Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup. We thought they had 3-1s, and they flamed out and scored 17 points against the 49ers in the wild card round.
Yeah.
So the wide receiver probably isn't. Now, they could use another weapon, but I don't think it's a move that makes any sense for them.
It would have to be a perfect deal because they don't want to use any of the cap space that they do have. Because this is, I mean, to Chief's point, like, one player is not going to push you over the top, but it is going to burn salary cap space that you could carry into next year. And whether you believe that cap hell is real or not, that's how they manage it. That's how they manage their cap, and they got a lot of dead money sitting out there, and they want to use this year to eat into that. And another good player would just create more cap clutter and not get you a championship. All righty, G-Bag Nation. I don't know about you, but I find the Puff Daddy story to be absolutely fascinating. And there are several angles here for you today. And they're constantly coming through the news feed. There's, you know, other celebrities being drawn into this, including now the Ashton Kutcher tie-in. Have you seen this one? That they're saying Mila Kunis left his butt when it had started to be reported that you know, Ashton used to be buddies with Puff Daddy. There's stuff everywhere. And there's a couple of videos coming out now of him talking about the Puff Daddy parties. Mila Kunis is out of here. Mm. Okay, then on top of that, you have Ben Affleck, J-Lo falling apart right as the Puff Daddy, you know, search warrants and you know, subpoenas and all that were being put out there. So you have, like, possibly the beginning of the ripple effect through Hollywood already starting. He has now been taken off of suicide watch. Why? He doesn't want to kill himself. He wants to tell his story. He cannot wait, according to his representatives, to get
his
on the stand.
His awful, awful lawyer that wants to put him on the stand.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. You want to tell your side of the story because maybe we're getting things confused. Maybe, you know, the media's spinning things a certain way. But why, as a lawyer, do you want to put that guy on the stand right now?
It's hard to say what we can believe and what we can't believe, but I saw one, like, paraphrasing of the lawyer saying, I couldn't keep him off the stand if I wanted to.
Jeez.
So, you know, maybe Puffy looks at it like, you know, I can, you know, threaten to take down others and find a way to get a little bit of leniency, or, you know, maybe he could actually get some leniency from the judge if he's able to unravel it further. But, you know, on the internet, everybody has friends that will give you the Hollywood is nothing but a bunch of pedo dudes, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we might even have somebody in this room right now that believes that, you know, and I am traditionally been like, really? I mean, come on, no, Tom Hanks, you got to be like showing me more
Shirley
evidence.
Shirley Temple said it a long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, Shirley Temple.
Shirley Temple did.
She said it was nasty.
Yeah. So I would very much look forward to a time when maybe that could be, you know, totally disassembled, and maybe this Puff Daddy story is at the beginning of it. Amongst the accusations and allegations that have been published and are in the news today, you know, that dude, Tony Busby, who got all the women together in Houston to go after Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. He's the man for the job.
He's the guy that's, I think, has 120 different accusers against Puff Daddy. One involved at the time, a 9-year-old. Really unbelievable, you know, that
a 9-year-old boy, right?
That depravity could go to that depth. Another time, a 15-year-old and a pregnant woman who said she was at dinner with Diddy, was not drinking alcohol, but her whatever she was drinking was spiked, and she woke up in his bed and realized, you know, some rather intimate things had taken place. Allegedly used horse tranquilizers, which might have been Dexter's drug of choice, I believe. I believe that's how Dexter would get you with the syringe, with horse tranquilizers.
That was sedating you immediately.
Yeah. You take a nice little 6-8 hour nap and wake up on his table.
Well, you won't wake up on his table.
No.
Not on Dexter's.
No, you'll wake up snuggling with Diddy, apparently.
You hear there's like an underground tape that they're shopping around?
Yes.
Somebody got a hold of a tape.
Yes.
Yeah, and shopping it around. And apparently the person that's on the tape has like more clout than Diddy.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
Oh, man.
This is going to get messy. Man.
Very, very messy.
You got Bugs Bee on your ass. You got Gloria Aldred on your ass.
Yeah. And then, you know, U.S. Weekly did a report on the jail that he's currently incarcerated in and the fact that he was off suicide watch, but he's at the Metropolitan Detention Center in Brooklyn. Consultant Sam Mangold told U.S. Weekly that the facility is pure hell, probably the worst federal detention center in the country.
The tombs.
Mm. And this is just like the regular jail that you go to while you're getting ready for your trial? This yeah. isn't a prison?
Nah, it's just yeah. a nasty jail.
Yeah.
There's no air movement. The food is slop, said the source. Diddy, worth an estimated $600 million, might be subjected to regular strip searches and limited access to showers. And the facility has a reputation for violence.
Now, I've seen somebody, he's getting like special privileges right now. He's getting up to 3 showers and everything. But he's also in the worst part of that jail. Like, you would think General Pop is the worst part because it is a bad jail. But he's in a spot where he's not getting any sunshine. He can step out for an hour a day type thing. Mm-hmm. Just solitude by himself in a big ass room with that that Bitcoin guy.
Sam Bankman-Fried.
Yeah.
Shut up, Sam.
Shut up, man.
Yeah, I wondered which would win out. Like, his celebrity, does that get him privilege? Or would sex offender status make him a target?
Yeah.
I don't know.
As soon as it comes to children, I mean, we've seen that. They don't play.
Oh, they don't play. Yeah, they don't play. You mess with the kids. Yeah. They're going to fold you up.
Yeah. That's over.
They say the food is horrible. There's a Murder Burger Wednesday, which is a thin patty burger like shoe leather. And apparently, there's a chili shredded chicken with rice addition that you could get on Taco Tuesdays. a chicken patty sandwich, a Salisbury steak for dinner. But they say all that's horrible. So everybody just tries to take their, you know, get enough money to go to commissary and, you know, buy snacks and maybe a can of tuna, something like that. That's much better than what they're serving up there at the CAF.
And how do you get money? Do you have to work for that money in there, or can you get money from the outside for that? Because I would assume.
No, his books are fooled up.
Yeah.
He's got multiple monies up in there.
Both, though, I think, right?
Yeah.
Both.
Yeah, I guess you can work to earn
it. Yeah, that's like jail. Like, when you go to prison, you can earn your monies. Yeah. But, like, jail like this, nah, it's...
You got to have somebody
to love you. Yeah. Somebody thinking about you.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's clear he did have several people that loved him and were willing to do anything for him. So that's probably no problem, especially with... you know, a staff like he can afford. All righty, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. And coming up next, it's time for Krusty's Corner. Brian, what kind of football goal do you have for us
today? Yeah, let's talk about the Steelers offense. There's some things you can do with them. We'll do that next.
469 says Diddy fired his lawyer. Thank you for that note. I'll have to Google that. The Astros just tied the game. It's 1-1. They had the play at the plate, the force out, bases loaded, and the catcher couldn't make the catch. What are you getting paid for, buddy? You can only catch from a pitcher? So it's tied 1-1 here, bottom of 7. Bases still juice, no out for the Astros there at home. They're trying to even the series at 1 game apiece. It's time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's Brian.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. Thank you very much to Reliant. God, I willed that thing. Didn't I say it was going to be a ground ball play to the plate, but it just, you know, Torkelson just couldn't make the throw. And what was the catcher doing there? My gosh. Oh, this could be trouble right here. This could be trouble.
Yeah, we're going to have a tag up from third. No?
Nope.
Throw home. It's safe. 2-1 Houston.
Gosh.
That was a quick runner.
Let me ask you this.
That was very shallow right field.
Man, let me ask you this, baseball guys. Foul ball like that, tough play coming into foul territory. Do you just let it drop?
Looks like the pitcher thinks he should have. You're awkward. Your back's to home plate. You got to spin 270 degrees. He had a really weak throw. He did not fire that thing in, did he?
Yeah. Oh, man. Catcher just could not.
Nice slide.
And you can't block the plate anymore,
no,
right?
You can't crowd the plate.
And the slide was to the back side of home plate, so... Yeah, the Astros.
She couldn't get the tag on.
I don't know, man. I don't know if you drop that ball in foul ground and just...
Mike was here, he'd probably have the answer for us.
Yeah, maybe Mike's listening, but I think I would have dropped it and then just play for another strike or play for a ground ball because That was a tough chance right there to have to make that throw.
I think I would have caught it and thrown a perfect strike at about 98 miles an hour to the catcher.
Of course you would have.
Yeah.
Of course you would have. Yeah. Absolutely. Mm. Okay. We're going to talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers offense here. And I'll say this. These guys are having some problems with their offensive line. They're having some problems with their health. But they're also having some problems blocking in the running game.
That's what I'd like to hear.
Yeah. And they've got some decent backs. When you start to talk about Najee Harris and then Jaylen Warren, and then they're using Cordell Patterson as a primary running back. But this is a team that does the things that we always talk about, the pin and pulls, because they can't come off the ball and just blow somebody off. They can't, when they try and double team, or they have problems with
that.
They
just don't have the guys for it.
They just
kind of the opposite of the strength the Cowboys are having inside right now. They don't have the power.
They don't sustain. They just don't sustain blocks. So, and you're thinking, oh man, Pittsburgh Steelers, heck yeah, you know, they run the football and all that. You know, they play a ton of 13 personnel. That's the one, you know, one back, three tight ends.
Yeah, jumbos.
Yeah, Arthur Smith is a tight end monster.
That's right. That's
his deal.
Of the four games the Cowboys have played so far, this is the worst blocking group of tight ends I've seen.
Oh, really? So they play a bunch of tight ends that can't block?
Can't block.
All right.
When you watch them, and I was curious about this, because I'm like, yeah, they play so much 13 personnel. Like, I think they're well over 47% 13 personnel. I think they do it because of the quarterback. You know, they have to, they're trying to kind of, when he throws the ball, let's play max protection. When we run the ball, let's make sure. But this is the worst group. And darn it, you remember?
Yeah, Darnell Washington was like an extra left tackle on the field.
Nah.
He doesn't have it?
They use Mason McCormick, who is a rookie, as their extra blocker. And he can't get it done.
Is it just because Washington's just stinking? He's just been bad?
He's just that Freiermuth just as bad. They've had trouble at the point of attack. If you look at it, and I was curious about this, because I was like, man, they play so much 13 personnel. Why don't they run the ball? They're one of the worst teams in the league when they get 13 personnel as far as yards per carry. With the heavy. And the one thing we kind of understand with Dallas is when somebody goes big, they have problems with that. This is a team that goes big and doesn't give anybody problems. I will say this. The Charger game, I was impressed with the way the Chargers linebackers played downhill in this football game. I think Dallas's linebackers were better than them in this game, and better than the Charger linebackers. And the Colts, they got after these guys. And they've had some problems with injuries. You know, they're trying to kind of mix and match some guys. They've got a rookie center in Zach Frazier. Mm-hmm. To me, you know, and listen, Mozzie Smith didn't have a pressure this year. You know, it's been a good time for Mozzie Smith to get a couple of pressures against Zach Frazier, because the middle of this Steeler offensive line is where people have been kind of attacking them and getting pressures. So keep an eye on that, the center. Isaac Suamalo is now going to be, they say he's going to be back in the lineup. They got him, remember, from the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes.
They're thinking he's going to be back in the lineup, but if he can't go, it's Mason McCormick, and they'll have and Mason McCormick is, as a rookie, doesn't look like he's ready to play.
No.
He's played guard. He played guard against the Colts, and he didn't look ready to play. So if Suamalo can't go, McCormick will slide in at guard, and then Frazier, the center, they'll have two rookie guys playing next to each other in this game. And they've had trouble running the football. Now, this is an offense Eric, this drive you nuts if you watch them play.
Mm.
They play at the sticks. When they run routes, it's at the sticks. It's beyond the sticks and back. Beyond the sticks and back.
It's a bunch of turnaround and look at the quarterback.
Try and find get the quarterback to get the ball out. Now, when they throw the ball, they'll throw the ball outside the numbers, and it's usually to George Pickens.
Mm-hmm.
George Pickens is a really good bad ball catcher. I mean, when you look at like catch probabilities for him and how he plays. Like, he catches a lot of passes that shouldn't be caught.
Body control and hands, man. He's always had that.
He is amazing that way. They've got some speed in this Calvin Austin, who's from Memphis, who was a fourth-round pick in 2022. So they've got some speed there at wide receiver. He wears number 19. Scotty Miller, who they got from the Atlanta Falcons, is a undersized, little quick slot guy that they use. So he's the guy on third down when they get bunch formation. They scatter. He goes to the flat. They throw him the ball. He catches it. They get a first down. But this team, you know, one of the things that they don't do particularly well is they lead the league in trying to rush the ball, but they're not overly successful at doing it. Now, the quarterback, when he drops back, is capable of just of running. He is very capable of just taking the ball, and they have designed quarterback runs. Him and the guy you just played, at the Ravens, the two most designed quarterback runs in the league, guys that have that, is Fields and your guy at Baltimore. Fields is second. So you'll see them snap him the ball. They'll try and lead up there with a tight end as the fullback. They don't get really much out of it. But he is going to try and run the ball. And where he gets in trouble sometimes is he doesn't pull the ball nearly enough. He gives the ball to Harris. He gives the ball to Patterson. I have a feeling watching Dallas play, he's going to pull the ball and try and run.
But he'll fumble. He's got ball security issues.
That's true.
Well, I mean, they can't even get some of their center quarterback exchanges.
They've
right.
had some problems there for sure. They've played a lot more underneath center here too than what he's done in the past when he was with the Bears. But this group right here, man, it is not as fearsome as I thought they might be. Because you watch the tape, you look at the metrics, and it really kind of tells the story. They struggle with sustain. They struggle with their blocking. They struggle getting push. And their backs want to cut everything back because the front side or where the ball is supposed to go is clogged up a lot of these times. And they're having to try and cut the ball behind the center, but they can't sustain blocks. Linebackers, they can't get blockers up on the linebackers in order to kind of help their running game. So I would this is a game where Dallas, you know, can find a way to play some good run defense because they're going to try, but make this guy have to throw the ball as much as you can. Keep an eye on Pickens, number 14. Watch Austin down the seam. He seems like a guy they like to hit. And then Freiermuth, the tight end, is kind of at the sticks guy. But Dallas is one of the best teams in the league when it comes to playing defense at the sticks. When they make people throw the ball, if you set short, in those curls and routes like that, Dallas is one of the best teams in the league defending those. So this might play right into Dallas's hands on the defensive side of the ball. If they can't get blockers up on the linebackers, Dallas's linebackers might have a field day running these Steelers running backs down and tackling them before they get going here.
It's great news. In a game without Tank and Micah, I mean, this is a team that struggled to score points. They didn't score an offensive touchdown in a win week one. They put up 13 points against the Broncos and managed somehow 20 against the Chargers. So Fields' legs, that's really the big concern.
I would be concerned with Fields' legs when it comes to the passing stuff because he will drop back. But if he pulls the ball and run, you've got to be disciplined. That's the whole thing with this read option stuff. You have to be disciplined enough to not get fooled or get frozen, like we've seen Micah a couple different times. We've seen Nealon, we've seen Golston. Those guys play it a little bit better. But if the Steelers can't get blockers up on your linebackers, they need to make every single play. And there's games where the linebackers have had good games against the Steeler offense.
We had a wild pitch, and the Tigers have tied 2-2. They have a runner on second, top of the eighth, with one out.
Presley, man. My guy Presley giving it up.
Yeah. Boom. Yeah. So that's nice, man. It sounds like you just described an offense that the Cowboys defense can really have some success against.
I believe this is a game that they can match up pretty well. When it comes, I just don't see Pittsburgh being able to get blockers up on your linebackers. And the strength, I think, of your defense is your linebackers' ability to get to the football and finish, especially if it's overshown and guys like that, you know, and Kendricks, those guys' ability to go and tackle the ball.
Yeah.
I'm positive about that. But you got to find a way to not let Pickens, you know, because what'll happen is plays will break down and this guy will run around and he'll find Pickens. But you gotta cover him. He wears number 14. He's a pain in the ass to deal with when, you know, because he can make those catches along the sidelines or up the field.
We're looking at the defense tomorrow.
Defense tomorrow.
That's huge right there. Could the Cowboys get double digits on the Steelers? That might be enough to win. Okay, it's tied at two. We'll come back here in the 4 o'clock hour, an addition of the finest here, Chief. What's in store?
Rest assured, this contender is definitely making a trade. Plus, we have a week 5 edition of GTS for the boys next year in the nation. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.